Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. 19 years now we have been bringing these messages to you. And we praise the Lord for the radio station, for the prayers and support of all you people out there listening, and most of all for the Lord himself, for the good messages that he has given me for his word. And so today is going to be a great message also. It's going to be a continuation of our messages on faith. And today we're going to be talking about putting your faith to the test, or exercising your faith. And so we're working off the definition, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. You can look at that in your Bible, Hebrews 11, verse 1. And then we're going to jump over to Romans chapter 12. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. We're going to take up this message on exercising your faith here in just a minute. First, I want to just give you a brief update on what's going on in Kenya. As I mentioned in the prayer, they're having massive floods, especially in the Nairobi area, in the Maasai area, south of Nairobi, and around Machakos, Kasarani, east of Nairobi. And so there's millions of people in that region. And so we ask for your prayers for those people. Many of them are getting flooded out. Many of them in the slums of Nairobi, the east part of Nairobi, are getting flooded out. And there will be very little left of their belongings when they get back to their little sheet iron houses. And some of them will have no houses to go back to. So pray for them. Our children are going back to school Monday. And that is a big issue for us. We have to come up with school fees for about 30 children. And so pray about your part in that. All of the children in Kenya have to have school fees. Nobody goes to school for free. And in addition, many of them, even some of ours, go to boarding school. So you have to get stuff for them to board with, mattresses and some food and all of that kind of stuff, papers, pencils, remedial fees. It adds up to a lot. So pray about your part in helping all those children. Without support, many of these children would not be in school. They would just have to drop out. And so that's a situation for many children in Kenya. They end up dropping out even in grade 8, form 1, freshman year, sophomore year. Many, many thousands, hundreds of thousands drop out throughout the country and they end up walking the streets or finding some menial work to do, or many of the girls, the young girls, are trafficked and snatched off the streets. So pray about your part in helping our children stay in school. And you can stay tuned to the contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Well, today we're going to be talking about exercising your faith. And so this is a big subject. We're working off the definition, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and a conviction of things not seen. And so you don't see something first and then believe for it. That's not faith. Everybody does that to some degree. Faith is believing for things that you have not seen, and you're convinced that they are. You're convinced that they're coming to you. You're convinced that they happen. And that is faith, is when you believe for things that you have not seen. And then we're jumping on over to Hebrews 11:6. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, for those that come to him must know that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so without faith, it is impossible to please God. You must know that he is. When you pray, you must be 100% certain that God is there. He's not just moving around and sometimes there, sometimes not. He is there all the time for you, for me. And so when you pray, you must believe 100% that God is who he says he is, that Jesus Christ, his son, is who he says he is, that the Holy Spirit is also there with you if you are a believer. And so when you become certain about those things, then you can pray with confidence. You can come boldly before the throne of grace and pray with confidence that the Lord will hear your prayer and he will act on your behalf. He will put his angels in to work. He will send his angels to work on your behalf. And so that is the certainty that you must have when you pray. And so you might ask, where does faith come from? Well, one of the definitions in the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's Romans 10:17. And so when you study God's Word, you read God's Word, and you look to God's Word for instruction, for teaching in your life, you're building your faith just as you read God's Word. When you listen to God's Word on the radio, when you hear people preaching God's Word, you're building your faith just by hearing God's Word. But there's another definition that we can look at in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, and it says that everyone has been allotted a measure of faith. When Paul was talking to the Romans, the Christian in Rome, he says in 12:3, "For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." Well, that's a pretty big sentence full right there. Paul is saying, don't think more highly of yourself. Stay humble. God exalts the lowly. He exalts those who are humble before him. He will raise you up. God has allotted to each a measure of faith. And so you have a little measure of faith. You had it before you became a Christian, but after you become a Christian, after you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your measure of faith gets bigger, because you have to come to salvation through faith. You have to believe things that you have not seen. You have to believe for your heavenly home. You have to believe for the kingdom of God to come into your life. You have to believe for the Holy Spirit to guide you, to abide in you. And so that measure of faith, that little measure that you were given, when you exercise it, when you put it to use, when you stretch it out, and believe for things that you have not seen, then that measure of faith, it keeps getting bigger and bigger. Faith is like a bridge that takes you from the temporal things, the natural world that you can see, and it bridges over to the supernatural world that you cannot see. And so when you cross that bridge, then you move into the supernatural world. Salvation itself is a supernatural event. It's a supernatural place for your spirit to reside, that place of salvation, that place of understanding that you are saved and that you are walking with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit abides with you. And so as you go over that bridge, then you cross that bridge of faith and you don't have to go across that same bridge again. That bridge is for you if you're believing for the ability or the provision. Maybe you're believing for the provision to start a ministry. Maybe you're believing for provision to preach a crusade, lead a Bible study, whatever it is. When you do it the first time and you see God open the door for you, you see God establish that for you, he establishes your steps to do that, then you don't have to cross that bridge of faith again. You know that bridge is there for you. You can go on then to something else that the Holy Spirit puts in your heart, puts in your mind. You can go on and deal with that or encounter that, embrace that with another bridge of faith that will take you higher and higher and higher in the kingdom of God. And so don't keep going back to that same place where that faith was challenged, where you had to exercise the faith to get across that first bridge. Once you've crossed it, it is yours. Once you've crossed it, it's like a notch in your belt. It's yours, and it is yours for all time. It's like the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts are irrevocable. They are given to you by God, and they're irrevocable no matter what happens in your life. If you don't deny Jesus, the gifts are for you. They will be with you for all eternity. So the faith that you have been given, that little measure of faith, Jesus describes it in Matthew 17, verse 15. He describes it as the faith of a mustard seed. He said in this situation, there was a man who had a son who was a lunatic, and he brought him to Jesus. This is Matthew 17, 15. And the man says to Jesus, "My son is a lunatic and is very ill, and he often falls into the fire and often into the water, and I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." And Jesus answered and said, "O unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." And so Jesus calls the disciples, and I guess there may have been some other people standing around there listening, as well as the father. He says, "O unbelieving and perverted generation." In other words, he's saying, you haven't exercised your faith. You don't believe for this boy to be healed. You don't believe that the power of God is great enough to heal this boy. And many times we're in the same situation. We praise God for doctors. We praise God for hospitals and nurses and medicine and all the full technology that's available to people here in the U.S. and somewhat in Kenya. But we don't many times exercise our faith. We don't believe that God can heal us, and we don't believe for healing without all these technological advancements. And beloved, I want you to exercise your faith. If you have something going on in your body, that's why I pray every Sunday for those who are sick. That's why I pray for those with debilitating illnesses, for those with mental illness and mental instability. And we have to pray because we believe that God is a healing God, that He is Jehovah Rapha, and He is a healer. There may be some time when the hospitals are closed, or they don't have electricity, or they're out of medicine, or even the doctors in Kenya are on strike. What are you going to do then? You have to pray. You have to exercise your faith. And so Jesus said, "O unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." And then in verse 18, Jesus rebuked the demon, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Well, a couple of teaching points we can gain from this illustration is that many illnesses are caused by demons. Many illnesses that are chronic illnesses caused by demons are handed down to us through generation curses, and we have demonic entry by the demons that are attached to our soul, and they cause pain, they cause all kinds of things. They cause people to stoop over, they cause back problems and limps and all kinds of things. And so Jesus rebuked that demon, and the demon came out, and the boy was cured at once. Well, let me tell you, no demon can stand up when Jesus rebukes it. No demon can stand up to that curse, to that place in your body, to that curse in your body, to that pain in your body. If it's being caused by a demon, the demon has to go. And so Jesus rebuked him. And then the verse 19, the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast that demon out?" Because the disciples were probably feeling like they were inadequate, feeling like they were weak, and feeling like they had no power. And Jesus said, "Because of the littleness of your faith." And so we see right there that the power to cast out demons has to come also from faith. The power even to cast demons out of yourself. You can self-deliver yourself by speaking the word of Jesus over you, speaking the blood of Jesus over you, rebuking the devil in your life, taking steps in your life to cast the demons out of your life, taking steps in your life to cast those generation curses away from you. And because of the littleness of your faith, believe in the blood of Jesus over your life. Believe in the power of God over your life. Believe in the healing power, the creative miracle power of God in your life. And so you have to believe without faith It is impossible to please God. It's impossible to please Him for healing. It's impossible to please Him to go on to the next place in your kingdom walk, to go higher and higher in your kingdom walk. And so keep exercising that faith. But especially if you are broken down with chronic illness and all kinds of stuff, keep exercising that faith. Your faith will grow when you see little miracles, when you see little things start to happen, when you start to see little healings start to happen, that faith will grow. And so Jesus said, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible for you. And so that little mustard seed, I don't know if any of you have seen, I'm sure some of you have seen a turnip seed or a cabbage seed, little tiny seed, little tiny black seed. It's not even the size of the end of a big pen, just a little tiny seed that you can't imagine how a big plant could come from that seed. And Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, well, he's encapsulating that substance in a little tiny seed called the mustard seed. He's encapsulating that substance, for faith is a substance. And he's saying, if you exercise that substance and you have that much faith that you will speak to that mountain, you will say to that mountain, move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible for you. Well, I don't think you should take this too literally. I don't believe that's what Jesus was meaning here, that we could go up to Long's Peak and say, move Long's Peak from here into the ocean. I don't think you're going to see that happen. It's possible. It's possible, but I doubt if you'll see it. But there are mountains in your life. Maybe there's things, obstacles in your life that you want to see moved out. Maybe there's obstacles in your Christian walk. Maybe you have addictions. Maybe you have addiction to pornography, addiction to lying, addiction to stealing. Maybe you have addiction to alcohol or cigarettes or gluttony, eating food all the time when you're not even really hungry. You speak to that mountain. Speak to that mountain in your life, and you ask the Lord to move that mountain out of your life. You say, Lord Jesus, I have this mountain in my life. It's more than I can conquer by myself. I can't get up over it. I can't get around it. It just is too big in my life. Lord, I ask you to move this mountain in the name of Jesus. I ask you to move this mountain, move it into the sea. And I believe, Lord, that you will move it. I believe it's possible because you say in your word, nothing is impossible for me. I believe you can do it, Lord. And so I ask you to do it, and I praise you. Start thanking him. Start praising him even before you see the first little pebble move, before you see the first little grain of sand move. Start thanking the Lord, start praising him, and watch the Lord move mountains out of your life. Is a closing verse to this little passage of scripture, verse 21. Jesus said, but this kind, that is this kind of demon, does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And so if you've never fasted to move the mountain out of your life, I recommend you do that. Start with a one-day fast. See if you can move that mountain out. Keep going. If you're doing okay, keep going to 2 days, 3 days, water only, and your Bible. Get off by yourself. Get off in your secret place. Spend time with the Lord in prayer and fasting, and you will start to see mountains move out of your life, and you'll start to see your health regained. You'll start to see that bright light come back in you. The Spirit of the living God will start to shine in you. And so Jesus said, this kind of demon does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Well, that may not be true of every demon that causes sickness or illness, but this kind, Jesus said, it goes out except by prayer and fasting. Well, all through the Bible, Jesus encounters people in situations and circumstances where people are sick or people are demon-possessed, people are tormented by demons, and so he encounters these people in his daily walk. If you go minister in Africa, you'll see a lot of these kind of people, and you will encounter them because as a Mzungu preacher there, people come to me asking for prayers, asking for deliverance prayers, and so we see a lot of this in Africa as well. It's a little more sanitized. Witchcraft and all of the demonic things are a little more sanitized here in the U.S., and so you don't see it so much out in the open, especially because people have cars here also, and so they're not walking on the streets and passing each other on the streets like they are in Africa. But Jesus encountered people every day in his walk that were tormented, that were struggling, and the devil had them in oppression, sometimes in possession. And so here's a couple of stories here. We're going to close with these two stories and just understand that many, many times, if you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, read through those Gospels, you'll read about stories where Jesus healed people and he said to them, "Be it done to you according to your faith." And when you read these stories, when you hear these stories, it builds your own faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So read these stories, read the Gospels. Those Gospels will inspire your faith. They will build and encourage your faith. And so you will know faith from seeing the works of Jesus and reading about the works of Jesus. Well, Matthew 9:27, it says that Jesus passed from the other place, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." They called him Son of David because Jesus was of the house of David. Verse 28, "And after he had come into the house, the blind men came up to him, and Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?' And they said to him, 'Yes, Lord.'" That's all they said, is, "Yes, Lord, we believe." And verse 29, "Then he touched their eyes, saying, 'Be it done to you according to your faith.'" And so that's all that was required. They had to believe. Jesus asked him, "Do you believe?" Same question about salvation. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? By faith, you say, "Yes, Lord, I do." So Jesus asked him, "Do you believe I am able to do this?" They said, "Yes, Lord." And he touched their eyes, and then he said, "Be it done to you according to your faith." Well, let's jump on to Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, and a centurion came to him, entreating him or begging him, and saying, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering from great pain." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion answered and said, "I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to this one, 'Go here,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." And now when Jesus heard this, he marveled. Imagine that. Jesus marveled at something that this man was saying. In other words, Jesus was astounded because he was understanding from the words of this man that this man had great faith. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following him, "Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel." And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, let it be done to you as you have believed," or according to your faith. Go your way, and let it be done to you as you have believed. And the servant of the centurion was healed that very hour. And so Jesus because this man expressed great faith and he was very humble. He said, I don't even want you, Jesus. I'm not worthy to have you to come into my house. I'm not even worthy to have you step into my house. Just speak the word, the servant says. I understand when I speak, because I'm a man of authority also, that my servants do this, that my slaves do that. I am a man that has authority over other people. And the centurion was saying, I'm placing myself under your authority, Jesus. Just speak the word, and I believe that what you speak will come to pass. Beloved, that's what we need to do in our life. We need to humble ourselves. Cast all your cares upon Jesus, for he cares for you. Humble yourself before him. Get down on your knees and cry out to him. Say, Jesus, I'm humbling myself before you. I believe you are who you say you are. I believe you are the Son of God, the man who went to the cross, the Son of God who went to the cross, and you died for my sins, and your blood that you shed on the cross, the blood that you shed on the whipping post, the blood that you shed when they pushed the spear up into my side, the blood that you shed is sufficient for my healing, is sufficient for my salvation, is sufficient for my deliverance, and it will give me the strength to believe that you are who you say you are, and that what I'm asking of you, it shall be done according to my faith. That your words have power, Jesus, your words have power, and that you have authority over my life, you have authority over my soul and my spirit, you have authority over any demons that are oppressing me and harassing me and tormenting me, and because of that, I believe when you speak that your words will come to pass. Well, beloved, that's a big, big subject, healing and faith, and we'll take a look at some more of it next week. But just understand this, Jesus has authority over your life. When you submit to him, you're going to see things, great things, happen in your life. You're going to see changes come about in your life. And beloved, that's where you want to be this day and for all eternity. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I praise the Lord for that. We hope you enjoy these messages. We'd love to hear from you today. Sit down, write us out a check, let us know you're listening, include prayer requests. We want to hear from you to keep the projects in Africa going and keep this radio broadcast coming here in the U.S. Thank you again for listening. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.